Contrary to popular belief, most guys with man breasts cannot just bench press their way to perfect pecs. They have a medical condition called gynecomastia, and Dr. Frank Lista of the Plastic Surgery Clinic can help. A world-renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Lista has perfected the procedure for correcting gynecomastia. Find out more at theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca. Get off the bench and into the game. Theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca.
He was never taught to keep his opinions to himself. That's why we love him. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Oh, Canada.
Swear to God, this is the last time we play this on this station today, I think. So we're going to spend the first hour of the show talking about all things NBA All-Star, and that includes the anthem. I spent the weekend at all the All-Star events, and I wrote down some, what I think are some talking points out of the All-Star game. First and foremost, it has to be said that Toronto, the city, came off looking pretty good. I mean, the fact of the matter is the only people preoccupied with the weather were sports writers and a couple of broadcasters. I'll tell you what, the fact that so many players brought their kids to this game is a great reflection on this city. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Most Major League Baseball teams have a family trip every year where players are allowed to bring their wives or girlfriends or both or kids or all four of them. I kid about the wives and girlfriends at the same time. Toronto's always one of the most popular cities when teams sit down to put together family day trips. So as I said, the fact so many NBA players brought their kids to the city, I think is a great reflection of the city. You know, I still think money and winning is ultimately going to be the thing that sways free agents to come here. But let's face it, having guys like LeBron James say how cool the city is certainly doesn't hurt. I mean, we can't do anything about geography, people. All we can do is be welcoming. If somebody's not coming here due to geography or weather, there's nothing you can do about that. The game itself, well, let's just say it was a good thing Dwayne Casey wasn't coaching in it after all. I don't think it would have survived it. The rebirth of the slam dunk contest was maybe the highlight of the weekend, considering how star players shy away from this event. Maybe, just maybe, we've seen the beginning of something between Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. Maybe this can become a regular thing. I guarantee you this. Next year's rematch is going to draw eyeballs and set ratings records. It also must be said that one of the big takeaways from the game yesterday, and it gets lost in the shuffle, was Paul George's near historic night, 18 months after a gruesome injury. When you look back at that injury, when you look at what Paul George has had to go through to get where he is again, it's pretty remarkable. I think basketball is just better when Paul George is happy. And yes, last but not least, we've got to talk about the anthem. You know, okay, so Nelly Furtado tried to turn it into a lounge piece or Christmas carol. Look, I didn't hate it as much as when Slash went all Hendricks and O Canada at the 2005 Jays opener. And come to think of it, considering how horribly conservative we've all become, I don't think there's any way Hendricks pulls off what he did at Woodstock with the anthem anymore. I don't think people would stand for it. And, you know, those are my takeaways from the All-Star game. Matt Devlin will join us. We'll get his sense of what this game means. And then we'll go to the phone lines and take your calls as well.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
I mean, really, people, it's an anthem. As I've said often, I don't even think we should play anthems at sporting events. I mean, the world's most popular sport is soccer, and you don't see them playing it before the Premiership. You don't see them playing it before Champions League. How do you feel about that? No anthems at all before sports events. I'd be in favor of that. Maybe that's what you want to weigh in on. Thank you. Thank you. You want to weigh in on that? You want to weigh in on the All-Star game? What you liked, what you didn't like? How important you think this game is. I mean, I hope that in the next, you know, I hope that 6 years down the road, the only thing we're remembering more about this game than Nelly Furtado's national anthem. I really do. Matt Devlin is our Raptors play-by-play voice on Sportsnet. And you can follow him on Twitter at @Matt_Devlin. Matt Devlin joins us on the Jeff Blair Show as soon as Travis McKenzie finishes talking with him. God. How you doing, Matt? Oh, that's a good start to a Monday. That's really good. He's got to call him back. Glenn Healy will join us at 10 o'clock. Troy Murray, Chicago Blackhawks radio analyst. The Leafs and the Blackhawks get at it tonight. We'll have our Leafs Nation post game with Gord Stellick and Todd Hlischko immediately following the final horn tonight in Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Eric Smith, our Raptors radio voice, will be along. Mark Carrig, who covers the Mets for Newsday, will join us. We'll talk about Jenry Mejia's lifetime suspension from baseball. Is this guy the stupidest athlete on the planet? I mean, he's pretty close to it. We'll talk to Mark Carrig about that. Hey, good. We got Matt Devlin. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing wonderful. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. What do you and Travis talk about when you call up?
He typically calls me and says, "Hey, how you doing this morning?" I say, "Hey, great. How you doing? How was the weekend?" And
that explains it right there.
He typically goes into, you know, dialogue of, you know, the nights out that he has partying and clubbing and everything like that. And so as an older gentleman, I just sit back and listen to it all.
I heard that Travis was down at EFS this weekend. Is it EFS or EFX, the club?
You know, I don't know what the name of it. He typically doesn't give me the name of the clubs that he goes to, but
yeah.
I know that he was big this weekend. All-Star Weekend's Travis's sort of event, as you know.
Well, he is a baller. There's no doubt
There's no doubt about that.
What'd you make of this weekend? I'll ask you this, Matt, first of all, because I think a lot of people, and you know, I think those of us in the media in some ways kind of help spur this on, but I think a lot of people tend to look at events like this as almost a referendum on the city itself when it comes to a particular sport. I mean, if you hold any All-Star game here, I guess with the exception of hockey, because people just assume that Toronto's a hockey city, but certainly baseball or basketball, people are going to kind of view it as a referendum and try to make sort of sweeping pronouncements about the city, in a basketball context at least, after this. I don't think you can do that necessarily. I think Toronto is what it is as a basketball city. Its strengths are obvious. As I made the point, we can't do anything about geography. I mean, you know, you just can't. But what do you think NBA players will take away from this weekend? Has it made any difference to where Toronto stands sort of in the NBA hierarchy?
Well, I think number one, when you win, you always are looked upon favorably, right? And I think that, you know, with the additions that Masai Ujiri has made over the last, you know, three seasons, that is, you know, first and foremost. And then, as you know, I know from being around the league and talking to, you know, the people with different clubs, they always enjoy coming here. And even despite, quote unquote, the differences or the weather or customs. But has that translated into making a huge free agent signing? Well, it hasn't necessarily for a lot of teams, right? New York has had money to spend in the past. They didn't sign anybody. The Los Angeles Lakers have had money to spend over the last couple of years. They haven't signed anyone. Chicago Bulls, the same thing. So there are a lot of different factors. Look, we all know that live here in this city, how great this city is. You can't apologize for the weather. The weather is what it is. You know, we have no control over it. I was in Minnesota this past week, and it was a lot colder there than it is here. It's unfortunate that this, you know, weekend, it happened to be our coldest couple of days, you know, this season. However, that is what it is. As far as the customs is concerned, which is something that you hear about, you know, that's just a part of the process that you just come to accept. And also, I think a lot of that is, you know, the difference between, let's say, hockey and basketball. You know, growing up here, If you're a hockey player, you're used to going back and forth to the U.S. and Canada to play in hockey tournaments over a course of a weekend. That isn't the case, you know, for a lot of the kids playing basketball in the U.S. It's typically reverse, right? A lot of the kids here in Toronto playing basketball will go down to the United States to play. So, look, it's a world-class city. We know that. It was a tremendous weekend. It's a lot of fun. And I really think that the city showed well, as it should, because it is a great city. And so we are who we are here. You know, please come in and enjoy the city for what we have to offer. And then at the end of the day, if you like it, great. And, you know, we, you know, move on to the next game, right?
Absolutely. In conversation with Matt Devlin, Raptors TV voice on Sportsnet. Obviously, this game was going to be all about Kobe Bryant, his last All-Star game. I found it kind of interesting that LeBron passed him. This game is the all-time All-Star scoring leader, something that LeBron sort of broke into a chuckle last night when it was pointed out to him. I mean, look, I don't want to get into a dissection of the game other than the fact that, I honest to God, I was cheering for 200 points. That would have been one of the highlights of my writing career, to see a basketball team score 200 points. But I did want to ask you about, you know, even by All-Star game standards, this game was less intense. I mean, every now and then, and you've seen it, Matt, in NBA All-Star games, about 4 minutes left in the game, especially if it's close, guys ratchet it up a bit. You know, you get a little bit of the playground attitude happening, right? Guys want to win the game. I didn't see a lot of intensity out there, and I'm wondering how much of that was because so much of it was focused on Kobe, you know? And I mean, all the talk going into the game was, are they going to stop Kobe? How many shots are you going to take? Who's going to pass the ball to him? Are they going to be too deferential? Do you think that had an impact on how the game was actually played?
Well, it's interesting because I thought that there would be a couple of different storylines that ultimately didn't play out. Number one was, you know, were they going to allow Kobe to kind of have a big night?
Mm-hmm.
And two, you know, would you see DeMar and Kyle in the backcourt? Although, you know, both of them played well and Kyle got a double-double. But, you know, would they kind of feature them? But I think what happened was after, you know, the East got out to that early start, you know, late in the game, the deficit they kind of looked at and realized, the East that is, that the deficit may have been, you know, a little bit too wide even to turn up the defense and try to come away with a W, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was, you know, a scenario whereby, okay, hey, look, it's 15 points, there's 4 minutes left. Even if we get after it, this thing may not be able to, you know, turn in our favor. But what's interesting to me, I always, as you know, Jeff, I have three boys. And, you know, this weekend for me was really being about a fan and a dad and bringing my sons to the different events, which is a rarity, as you know, in our business because, mm-hmm. you know, we spend so much time, you know, away from the family. And I really leaned on them and asked them, you know, their thoughts on it. And, you know, I look back on All-Star Saturday night. To me, that is always kind of the crowning night of All-Star weekend.
Yep.
And I really thought that the dunk contest was exceptional. And, you know, I asked the boys, you know, what they thought about last night in comparison to All-Star Saturday. And I'll tell you what, they enjoyed last night just as much because they were like, you know what, you're seeing game action, but you're seeing all sorts of different dunks and you're seeing, you know, Steph Curry take a, you know, 35-foot, you know, three-pointer. So, you know, where you and I may look back and say from an entertainment value, Saturday night is off the charts. You know, when you talk to the kids, you know, they loved every moment from the rising stars through last night. And to me, ultimately, that's what this weekend is about. It's about the kids that had an opportunity to watch, kids that had an opportunity to go to the jam sessions, whether you're there in attendance or watching on TV. It's about the next generation. It's not about you or me or people that are in the, you know, their 40s, 50s, or 60s. It ultimately is about that next wave, very much like what we've seen in the past in Canadian basketball that, you know, Vince Carter transformed and affected so many kids along the way.
you know, this is about the 5-year-old, the 10-year-old, the 15-year-old that had an opportunity to watch this. And ultimately, what is that going to lead to? Whether it's as a player, whether it's as an executive, whether it's as a reporter, a journalist, this weekend, to me, helps foster that.
Speaking of Vince, you know, I wrote this Saturday, and I don't know, you know, I don't think it had anything to do with the Raptors, or I don't know why it didn't work out. But I got to tell you, I ran into a lot of people Saturday night. I mean, I was in the concourse a couple of times. A couple of people stopped me. We were talking. And you know what they all said? Vince should be here.
Yeah.
Look, we all know the story of his parting here. And I think to the Raptors' credit, they took steps. I believe it was 2014 to sort of help mend that relationship with that video tribute. But Matt, somebody should have seen to it that he was there Saturday night. Because to me, in a lot of ways, to me, that was Vince's night.
I don't disagree with you. I don't know any of the background to it. But I really think it would have been wonderful for him to be a judge at the dunk contest.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if anybody reached out to him. I don't have any of that information. I don't know if, you know, that was, you know, discussed. Maybe it was discussed. Maybe it was, I don't know any of the details. But I agree with you that I believe that it would have been nice, you know, at 39 years of age, you know, for Vince to be here in a city that, as we know, I understand the end. But what people, the fans that are maybe our ages, what they maybe don't understand is that even though it may have ended not the way that people wanted it to end, to a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, to a Tristan Thompson, to a Corey Joseph, to a Nick Stauskas, the list goes on and on, as we know, that didn't have the ending didn't have as much effect on them as all the dunks and all the highlight reels and all those moments from when he was a rookie to the end. And so when you understand that and put that into context, you realize the impact that he has and has had.
Before we let you run, there's kind of an interesting subtext to this weekend. I thought about, you know, watching the Rising Stars Challenge on Friday night, and then in the skills competition when Carl Anthony Towns won the skills part of the event, and something Adam Silver said at his news conference, the NBA commissioner, was when he was asked whether or not he would consider restoring the center designation on the All-Star ballot. And I mean, I don't want to get too inside school here, but I'm watching the Rising Stars game. You know, I saw what Carl Anthony Towns did. You look around the league, and you know what, Matt, we all know the game has become a perimeter game now, but are we maybe seeing right in front of our eyes kind of the evolution of a new big man? You know, a guy who is going to be able, a 6'11 or 7-footer, who is going to be able to play in that type of game? Because Adam Silver said, even he, when he watched the Rising Stars Challenge, it really sunk home. It really resonated with him just how many pretty athletic, pretty good big men are coming into this game.
Well, there's no question about it, from DeMarcus Cousins and the 3-point shooting that we've seen to Carl Anthony Towns, who we had an opportunity last Wednesday to witness his career high at 35. He's off the charts. Look at Aaron Gordon in the dunk contest. Can you imagine taking off of the mascot stuff's head and essentially sitting in a sitting position and then dunking? I mean, that was spectacular. I think ultimately what's happening is that I think that the skill set has been there in the past, but now you're asking them to do something different. And in the past, when bigs coming over from Europe, what did we always say about them, or what did you always hear about them? Oh, you know what? They don't play on the inside. They like to face up. They want to play on the perimeter. Well, guess what now NBA bigs are being asked to do? They're asking to face up and play on the perimeter because it creates spacing. And so I think the skill set has always been there. It's just now teams are accepting that these are roles that need to be played out. Specifically, if you even talk about Chris Bosh, you know, one of the reasons why you look at Chris and you see you know, the development of the three-point shot and him playing on the perimeter in his time at Miami with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James is because you want to create lanes, you want to create spacing for Wade and James to operate. So when a big is stepping outside, as we know, you know, it's going to draw a big away from the basket. So I think that the skill set has been there. It's just that now teams are utilizing bigs in a different fashion. I think the old school approach of pound it on the inside, get the ball down on the block, while we'll see it every now and again, they're just not utilizing it as much. People do not want to have clogged up areas. They want to have an open floor.
Matt, we're going to let you run. Enjoy your time off, such as it is for the rest of the week. And thank you so much for doing this.
Anytime, Jeff. You know it. And tell Travis he can get some rest now after all the clubbing over the weekend.
I will. All his peeps are gone. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. Take care, Matt.
All right, see you, buddy.
It's Matt Devlin, TV voice of the Raptors. Or Travis McKenzie, and now they're in another long discussion with lots of hand gestures and everything like that. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Hope you're enjoying your family day. Give me a call. Let's talk about the NBA All-Star game, what you liked, what you didn't like. If you want to vent about the anthem, feel free. I'm just telling you that I'm only going to have a certain amount of time for it, because I think it was really the reaction to it, the negative reaction to it, was way over the top. But there are a lot of other things to talk about the game. I mean, the game itself, it's an all-star game, right? Nobody ever plays defense in an all-star game. Every now and then, you get a little bit of intensity, especially when the score is close. You know, it's funny. You know how everybody always tells you that you only need to watch the last 2 minutes of a basketball game to really, you know, to get a feel for what's gone on in the game? The All-Star game is one of those games you can do that. You can turn it over with 2 or 3 minutes left, and if one team is within 5 points of the other, you're going to see defense for the final few minutes. You're going to see a few more head-to-head, man-to-man showdowns in the final few minutes. And that's typically what happens. You know, typically, teams take turns putting on a show, trading baskets, dunking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all that good stuff. And then there's actually like 2 or 3 minutes of basketball where it gets serious. We didn't see that. Like I said, I watched the game because I was hoping for 200 points, man. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see 200 points scored in a game. I've never seen 200 points scored in a game. Said in my column in sportsnet.ca, the only time I've seen 200 in a scoreboard is when it's showing Josh Toley's batting average. I thought it was a pretty good line at 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning, whenever it was. Or actually 197. Well, my producer Travis McKenzie tells me the scoreboard at the ACC only goes to 199. I do know that on one of the TV feeds I was watching, whoever put the spacing in had screwed up and the scores had run together. So you got 196, 18, like you got it like 1. It almost looked like a social insurance number. Look, I thought it was a great weekend. I don't know if Kevin Durant's more likely to sign here now as a result of this weekend. I mean, Kevin Durant comes up to Toronto in the summer anyhow for a couple of festivals. I don't know if this is going to change anybody's opinion. I think the Raptors winning changes more opinions than anything else. But I will tell you this, it's significant that players like this place enough to bring their kids up here. And I just think all told, I think it was a real good weekend. I think the players put on a good show Saturday night. They were out and about in the community. And honest to God, you know, you go through all the quote sheets that come out of these events, right? Because here's the dirty little secret no one ever wants to tell you. But when you're at big events now, you don't even need to go to the interview room. You can sit on your ass at a table for the whole day because there are transcription services. So, and you don't have one-on-one time with these guys for the most part. So anything anybody says, it's there online. I mean, hell, as a fan, you can go online, asapsports.com, pull it up. You can see every transcript. So, you know, there's a kind of a detachment there in this type of an event. And you only know what guys are saying in these organized settings. But guys seem to genuinely like it. the comments about the cold weather usually came when the players were asked, boy, it's cold out, isn't it? Well, yeah, it's pretty cold. But you didn't hear an awful lot of whining about it. You know, away from a few reporters. Several of whom live here, which I found really odd. I like the tribute to Kobe. Like Matt Devlin said, I would have liked to have seen Lowry and DeMar together in the backcourt a little more, but that's okay. I mean, that's really splitting hairs. George and Hamilton, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, George?
Hey, Jeff. I enjoyed it because I thought, a lot of them did a lot of community work, like Muggsy Bogues with the kids. LeBron even took uniforms out to school. And I thought Charles Barkley is pretty cool, saying Toronto's his favorite city. And
Charles, I got to tell you, I'll let you finish.
Over and doing the Hockey Night in Canada thing was rather cool, too. So,
yeah, George, I'm just going to interrupt for a minute because I want to say this about Charles Barkley. And hang on, because I'll let you finish. But I want to say this about Charles Barkley. I had a friend ran into Charles Barkley, just so you don't think that this is, Charles Barkley trying to sell Charles Barkley. I had a friend that ran into Charles Barkley 3 years ago. He was at a convention in Chicago, and Charles happened to be in the bar. They were doing a Raptors game. They were doing a Bulls game. And guy started talking to Charles. And when he found out that he was from Toronto, like, Charles Barkley spent the next 5 minutes talking about how he loved coming up to Joe Carter's golf tournament and how he loved Toronto and how he tries to get up there as much as he can and how it's one of his favorite cities. And, I think you talked about LeBron taking jerseys out to kids and Charles talking about this. I think we're kind of jaded. We look at LeBron taking jerseys out to kids and we go, well, with all the money you make, son, taking jerseys out to kids shouldn't be that big a deal. But you know what? To those kids, it is. And, we may sit here and hear a guy like Charles Barkley talk about how good Toronto is, and we roll our eyes and say, oh, yeah, that's just, Charles blowing smoke up your ass. But you know what? To a lot of people listening, in the States especially, that's resonating a little bit. That's kind of planting that seed. So I just want to throw that out there and continue, because Charles wasn't BSing. Go ahead.
He just doesn't say it because, what has he got to gain?
Exactly.
The Barkley brand in Canada. I just think he actually enjoys Toronto, so.
Yeah, no, I think it was a good weekend for the city. I really do. Like I said, I don't know if Kevin Durant's going to sign here because of it. I don't know if any free agent's going to sign here because of it. But it never hurts to have people leave your city saying, that was fun. I mean, that can't hurt you. Matthew in Etobicoke, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Matthew?
Hey, Jeff, how you doing today? I was just wondering if you think the Raptors got enough playing time last night, if DeRozan and Lowry got enough playing time.
I would have liked to see them on the court together more.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. I just felt like they weren't out there enough. And a little side note, I was wondering if the Raptors should go after Dwight Howard with their first-round draft picks.
No, boy, I wouldn't. I mean, Dwight Howard, great player, but Dwight Howard would rip your room apart. I'll tell you what. I mean, the scuttlebutt at the game, just around the game and, in the media area and all that, a lot of people seem to be keeping an eye on the Atlanta Hawks and the Toronto Raptors as potential trade partners. You've heard, obviously, Al Horford's name being mentioned a lot. A lot of people are kind of looking at those two teams and keeping an eye on and keeping an eye on that. Other than the fact that I would have liked to have seen DeMar and Kyle out there more, I didn't really have an issue with the playing time. I mean, one of the things you have to remember is the coaches of these two teams defer to the players when it comes to playing time. Tyronn Lue was talking about the plan with LeBron James is very simple. They talked about it before the game. LeBron was going to play 6 minutes a quarter. And if the game was close at the end, they were going to go all out. If the game was close at the end, you were going to see the starters in there. You were going to see defense. You were going to see, an attempt to win the game. But once the game got out of hand, the plan was play the young guys, give them some time. And Greg Popovich had kind of a similar approach. Although Greg Popovich had, frankly, had a better team at his disposal than Tyronn Lue did. So a lot of stuff goes into it. A lot of it is you ask the players, how much do you want to play? You got to remember, especially for Kyle and DeMar, they log a lot of minutes during the regular season. And one of the Raptors' concerns going into this All-Star break was how would these guys hold up, having to play the role of unofficial host, all the media demands on them, all the charitable demands on them, everything that every role that they were expected to play in this weekend. I mean, there are guys that they're going to be competing against in the next couple of months who are sitting on a beach right now someplace having Mai Tais and chilling. And these guys really aren't getting a chance to have much rest. So I'm just saying there are a lot of factors that go into how much playing time a guy gets. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if somehow word got to Tyronn Lue that, hey, you know what? Let's go a little easy on the Raptors guys. They've logged a lot of minutes. And when you talk to guys who've coached in these games, they tell you their first thing is get everybody through the thing healthy. Make sure everybody has fun, but get everybody through the game healthy. And if coaches have made requests of all-star coaches, don't play my guy too often. I don't use my guy in these situations. My guy's nursing, whatever. Take it easy with him. I mean, you're obligated to go by that. So it wouldn't surprise me if some of the playing time issues, if you want to call it that, with DeRozan and Lowry were actually the result of communication from the team to Tyronn Lue. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. I mean, all you keyboard warriors who were out there ripping Nelly Furtado last night, call up. We'll talk about it. It's a Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada in the NHL and Sportsnet will join us at 10 o'clock. The Leafs get to play roadkill for the Chicago Blackhawks tonight. Troy Murray, Chicago Blackhawks radio analyst, will be one. A lot of people really excited about that win over Vancouver. Brandon Leipzig's goal seems to have energized the city. Yikes. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Eric Smith's going to join us later on. We'll talk to Eric about the absence of Vince Carter. I thought it was really noticeable this weekend. And as I wrote on sportsnet.ca, I know the Raptors have taken steps towards repairing this relationship. But, man, I mean, it's time to let this thing go. Somebody ought to have seen to it that Vince Carter was here as a judge for the All-Star Game slam dunk competition. This night was his as much as anybody's. That's my opinion. We saw Tracy McGrady there as a judge. Tracy McGrady got a warm round of applause. So people have turned the page on him. Poor old Chris Bosch, though. He was on one of those lip sync things they had on the video board where they had NBA players lip syncing songs. And every time Chris Bosch's face was shown, he got his ass booed. We really have to move on, people. You got to move on from it. You really do. You're a big franchise now. You're all growing up. Time to close the circle. For God's sake, folks. Enough of it. I mean, make it stop. Enough of the petty vindictiveness. We'll talk to Eric Smith about that, see how he feels about it. We'll take your calls. If you want to call in now as well about that topic again. Bill, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Bill?
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Happy Family's Day to you.
Thank you. You too.
A great All-Star weekend. It was nice to see the slam dunk finally, get reinvigorated by Gordon and LaVine. I thought it was a great slam dunk. Regarding the trade front, I think one of the targets the Raptors should maybe tackle is Thaddeus Young from Brooklyn. He's having a great year. He's under contract for the next 4 years, I think at about $12.5 a year. With Horford, as much as it'd be nice to get him, I don't think the Raptors can afford him and DeMar next year.
No, I agree with you. I think, and frankly, well, I was going to say, I would think you'd be looking for somebody you're basically looking for somebody to come off the bench, I think, once Damari's healthy. Look, here's the thing. As I sit here and look at this, I honestly don't know if I'm Masai Ujiri, if I want to burn one of those draft picks. Maybe your own, I could see that, but I don't know how much you would get for that. I don't want to touch the other draft pick.
I don't think you're going to need to give up a draft pick. That said, if they did, there's nothing wrong with giving our own draft pick, which will be in the late first round.
Yeah, and that's true. And, I mean, Doug Smith and other people have made the point as well that you can only have so many young guys on your, you can only have so many young guys on your roster. And the Raptors are going to be carrying some young guys next year as well. Powell, Wright, I guess Lucas Nogueira still here, although it wouldn't surprise me if you throw him in a trade. Maybe somebody will take a shot at that. But, yeah, we really haven't seen this regular starting lineup together for so long. And when I say that, I'm talking specifically about a lineup with Damari Carroll in it, that I would think you'd want to see that before you start making too many major moves. You'd like to see how that works. But, I think Masai Ujiri, if he's going to make a move, it's going to be a measured move. I don't expect anything dramatic. I think it might be something along the lines of a measured move. Thaddeus Young would be fine. I don't know about Al Horford. It could probably make Thaddeus Young work a little bit more under the salary cap next year. And I mean, I've been on the record. I think you got to get DeRozan done. You know, I don't buy that the grass is greener. I think you give him a max contract and away you go. It's just, and I thought that before he went to the All-Star game. You've invested so much time and energy in this kid and he's improved his game so much. And you better have DeMar DeRozan's replacement in hand before you get rid of DeMar DeRozan. So to me, one of the aspects, one of the factors at work in the trade deadline is it has to keep alive the possibility of DeMar coming back here on a max contract. Richard in Barbados, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, good morning, Jeff. How are you doing today?
Good. Where are you in Barbados?
St. Michael. That would be near Bridgetown.
All righty.
It's a small country, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That's a good point.
My point on the All-Star game is that while it's an exhibition of skills and it's all about entertainment and family and everything, I really, really do think they should take a lesson from Major League Baseball and maybe put a little more importance to that All-Star game to maybe dictate home court advantage in the finals or something. And the reason I say this is that I get rather monotonous to see 95% offense and 5% defense. And the All-Star game isn't a true reflection of a real basketball game. It's like a three-pointer. It's like a three-pointer night disguised in a game. And I get a little tired of it. But if they put importance to it, then there you'll see true magnificent All-Star game with all the skills being displayed on both the defense and the offensive side. It'll be an amazing game. And the only excuse that I could see from the owner's standpoint is they're worrying about their stars being a little bit, being injured or whatever. But it's just one more game in an 82-game schedule, and they get injured at any game. But I would watch it with intensity if I saw there was importance added to it, like Major League Baseball displays.
Yeah, I'm not, you know what, I'm not a huge, I like the NBA All-Star game the way it is. I really do. I don't think that allowing home court advantage to be determined for the finals to be determined by the winner of the All-Star game, I guess it works in baseball. I'm okay with it. Although if baseball did away with it tomorrow, I wouldn't complain about it. I don't know if it makes the game any more competitive necessarily. We've seen NBA All-Star games that have been very competitive. Again, with the NBA All-Star game, it gets back to how close is the game down the stretch. If the game is close down the stretch, it gets pretty interesting. If it isn't, then yeah, guys are just, guys aren't going to be into it. But I don't think that, I don't think there's any way that you can ratchet up the intensity in an All-Star game. I really don't. And the other thing, more than any other All-Star game, this is a social event for the players. I mean, there's a ton of parties. There's a ton of functions. I know every All-Star game guys are out doing stuff, doing charitable stuff, but there's a lot of demands on NBA players during their All-Star game because of the international nature. Like, I can tell you, the media at this game dwarfs anything I've seen at a Major League Baseball All-Star game. I'm trying to think of the last time I was at a Major League Baseball All-Star game, which is with as much media as this game had. And maybe it's because it was Kobe's final game, but, or maybe geography had something to do with it as well, because it's on the East Coast, and so a lot of the East Coast media outlets can get here. I can't remember a Major League Baseball All-Star game where there was many as much media as at this game, and as much international media. That's a thing that really struck me. There was a lot of international media here. We were talking people from Indonesia. We're talking people from India, obviously China, the Latin American countries. I think the NBA All-Star Games pretty much got it figured out. I think they pretty much have the correct formula. The only thing I would consider, I suppose, is maybe, and this I admit probably seems silly now after what we saw in the slam dunk competition on Saturday, but I think there was some mention or there was some thought being given to taking the 3-point contest and actually having it as the marquee event at the end of the Saturday night skills competition and have the slam dunk competition in the middle, you know, essentially change places with them. That won't happen now. Every basketball fan, if it's LaVine and Gordon again next year, we'll all be watching. We will all be watching. I really don't know if there's anything you can do to change the game. I don't think it needs to be made better. I think it's fine the way it is. And I love Matt Devlin's point. You know what? We talk about this a lot and everything, but the kids who were there, the kids loved it. I mean, our press box seat was in the stands. People were having fun. I didn't see too many sad faces there Saturday night or last night. I saw an awful lot of people who paid an awful lot of money and had an awful lot of fun. And that's really what it's all about. Like, people basked in the spotlight that was shone on the city. And there's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't. And it really is about, it's about the fans, and it's about their impression more than anything else. So Brandon Leipzig, I was going to say electrified Toronto, that's not the case, but man, oh man, one game certainly got a lot of people worked up in this city. The Leafs get back at it tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks. Glenn Healy is our NHL analyst on Sportsnet and also, of course, with Hockey Night in Canada. And Glenn Healy will join the Jeff Blair Show when we return on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.